This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
So I wanted to, first off, I have no relevant disclosures to relate. So technology is a great thing. We are creating all kinds of ways to occlude the central veins, and that I see more and more often patients with unusual reasons to have central venous occlusion. I work at a place that's pretty big in heart transplant and VAD and artificial hearts, and I learned that I now have to ask not do you have a cat, do you have a pacemaker or AICD, but did you ever have, because I see all these people post-heart transplant who their box is no longer there, and so I can't assume that they don't have central venous obstruction from pacemaker or AICD leads now. But and you now see patients who are 25 years out from their treatment for Hodgkin's disease, and they've had radiation, and they might have had chemotherapy that shortened the lifespan of their kidney, and now they're happy to be alive, but now they have a need for dialysis and maybe some challenging central venous access. Well, how long does it take to create a central stenosis? This is a patient who is near and dear to my heart, being left-handed. This patient was also left-handed, and she came and said, I want to have an AV fistula, but I want it in my non-dominant hand. Well, of course, her permcath had been placed on the right side because, you know, 85-15, you're probably going to be right. And a month later, I got her to the OR quickly, got a fistula in her within a month, and actually found out that she had this brachiocephalic stenosis in about a month. And the problem is that a catheter decreases your probability of getting a suitable AV access in that extremity really forever. And even after you remove the catheter, that cascade of scarring has already begun. So it doesn't necessarily protect you from central stenosis when you get the catheter out. Well, first of all, I would echo everything that was said previously about stents. We recognize that stents are a great thing to make the vein look good, but usually what it does is it creates a situation where you're intervening every 2 to 3 months. It changes to a situation where you may be intervening every 5 to 6 months, but I would certainly agree that once a stent goes in the vein, you got a plan for when you're going to actually do something to take care of it when it's stenosis. And this is supported by a number of studies that show that stenting has good short-term results, but not necessarily good long-term results. Covered stents, if the anatomy is appropriate, seems to be a little bit more durable than non-covered stents. But I think most people now are in a situation where they're recognizing that the short-term nature of it is accurate and true. So this brings us to what I like to call a removable stent, which is the HERO device. And the HERO device stands for Hemodialysis Reliable Outflow. I went to the product approval committee for the OR once to the hospital to get this on the formulary stocked in the OR and presented all the data. And the first person raised their hand and said, well, I think it should be approved based on the name alone. I mean, how can you not have a HERO available when you need it? So there was very good marketing thoughts behind this. This was actually originally developed and marketed by Hemisphere, and then CryoLife purchased the marketing rights. And just recently, earlier this year, Merit Medical has now taken over for the distribution and manufacturing of this. And a number of the workforce that was with CryoLife transitioned to Merit, and I think Merit is actually in the exhibit area. Well, this allows new access for creation in patients, but really more importantly is important to salvage access in patients who have symptomatic central venous stenosis. So this is the device, and it consists of this nitinol-reinforced silicone outflow component that's 5 millimeters in its internal diameter. A 7 millimeter balloon is really good for getting it to pass in there, and it's connected to originally a PTFE graft via this connector piece. And there is now available a universal connector. Now I say universal, but it actually is only approved to be used with the Flixene standard wall or Acusil graft. But it does turn out that both those two graphs are the ones that most people have been using, and the main reason is so that they can get an immediate use graft. It can be exist, in my experience, the most durable configuration is a well-established AV fistula, and you connect the AV fistula, the HERO device, with a very short segment of graft to your existing fistula, and that gives you the most durable configuration. Well, the long-term results have been published a number of places, and on the HERO website, there's a lot of publications. This is one of the more recent ones that looks at 409 patients who were placed through 2014, and you can see that the primary patency is actually not too different from the primary and secondary patency, not too different from just a standard graft. And you got to remember that these are all the tough ones. These are the folks who have their names are on the little box in the IR suite that you're not allowed to take the catheter out without having a wire in, and they're the tough customers. So there is a wide range of success here, but the long-term secondary patency is actually relatively good. There is probably a little bit higher incidence of steel, but again, these are the difficult folks, and you give them very good outflow, so they can easily develop steel. And the bacteremia rates are very comparable to grafts and much better than catheters, and that's how it really has been. It's classified as a graft, not as a catheter. And as I mentioned, it falls into two groups, those who have a functioning access that may not be working very well or has symptoms, as Dr. Dolmash talked about. And these are some pretty impressive patients that you see that come in, and I have a lot of patients who come in and say, well, you know, I actually can't find a bra anymore because I have such discrepant sizes of my breasts. And they're very happy when you actually get rid of their swelling. So as I won't belabor some of these tips, but getting the wire into the right atrium is key, and I think partnering with whoever you have in your institution who has some facility with that is a great thing to do. I really like using a 7-millimeter balloon, and you can actually use a 7-millimeter balloon to load it, to lead the HERO device into the right atrium. And I try to keep the outflow segment short. And the place where it's really most critical is where the graft connector is. That's the area that can kink. So I really try to make that parallel to the clavicle, whether it's above or below the clavicle. I try to make it parallel there because that's an area that doesn't necessarily move or kink. And now with immediate use grafts, we can avoid abridging catheters because most of the infections that were reported were really probably associated with the catheter that the patient had waiting for the graft to heal in place. It's important. This is not a way to treat people with inadequate cardiac output or with inadequate arterial inflow. They will not be fixed with a HERO. And the more you experiment with this, the more you can get kind of creative. So, for instance, this is a fistula, and the patient actually was on anticoagulation for lupus anticoagulant, and for other reasons, recanalization was not necessarily an option, but she had a catheter placed on this side and a functioning fistula on this side. And she actually has a HERO that crosses over to the other side. But sometimes, and I'll just, the last thing I'll end with is sometimes you don't have to do anything about this. And as I was already mentioned, there may be a peripheral lesion that's causing the patient's symptoms, or, and this is a recent, this is just being published this month from Dr. Jennings in Oklahoma, but they had 19 patients who had known central venous occlusion and well-developed collaterals, and they actually created AV fistulas in them. And actually, 60% of them did pretty well. 40% of them had some edema, and they had to do some inflow banding and outflow coiling, and four had to be recanalized. But actually, most patients did pretty well in that. So again, don't avoid the oculo-occlusive reflex. I guess it's not the oculostenotic reflex. All right, thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.